Hey friends, welcome back to Metacosmios, a podcast with astrological forecasts for pasts and other cosmic chit-chat. I'm your host, Jay, translator of planetary cadence, also known as an astrologer. Thank you so much for being here. Well, I've got another amazing guest episode for y'all, this time with Diana of Waning Moon Readings. Diana is a psychic, a medium, a tarot reader, and a death doula. And she joined me on the show to share a bit of her journey with us, you know, how she came to discover that she had all of these gifts, why she's dedicating her life to helping other people with those gifts, and the advice that she would give to folks who are embarking on a similar path. We also took a little peek at Diana's birth chart to see how this type of vocation and life direction is showing up through the lens of astrology. It was fascinating to see how some of Diana's placements have manifested in her life and continue to manifest. And even though I'm fully steeped in astrology and tarot and spiritual practice, and I fully believe in ghosts, I can be a bit of a skeptic from time to time, but I had a psychic reading with Diana in late 2023, and it was incredible, honestly incredible. And I talk more about it in the episode, but all that to say, I highly recommend working with Diana if you are able. Check out the show notes for more info on connecting with and working with Diana. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get into this. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the show, Diana. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to finally chat with you.
I know. I'm excited to chat with you too. I'm very interested in what you have to say about my chart.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I'm super interested in what you're going to have to say about all of the things that you do. I can't wait. I mean, I know you, but I can't wait to like learn more about you and what you're doing.
Oh my God, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yay.
All right. So for all the listeners that don't know you, can you just introduce yourself a little bit? Who are you these days? What kind of work are you doing? What are you feeling passionate about?
Oh my God. Yes. Where do I start? My name is Diana. I am a psychic medium and tarot reader. And I kind of started out just doing tarot and everything kind of, I feel like old, like abilities that were always there and present, just I was able to tap further into them. And I will say this all the time. I feel like tarot kind of reopened that for me because things just started to flow. And then I started to, you know, I'd be doing tarot readings and then I would be getting mediumship stuff that was coming in for other people. I was used to mediumship stuff for, you know, myself, like with family members who pass, like, especially like in dreams. Dreams are a huge, 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 huge part of my life. And I've always been a huge part of my life where I get a lot of messages, even when I was little. And yeah, so that's kind of led me to working more in the realm of like death, with death work. I did take a course to be an end of life doula, and I still want to take more courses because I always like learning. And I'm actually now doing more of that work, which is really nice because that's kind of what I want to do. I want people to understand that, you know, death is just like a natural part of life. And as sad as it is, and, you know, and I was just talking to you before, and we were talking about like in the past 2 weeks, like two family members of mine had passed, and extended family, but like family. And it never gets easier when you have to say goodbye to people, when you lose people unexpectedly. And you know, we all grieve, and I just kind of want to help people through that process and knowing that there isn't just nothing at the end.
Yeah.
And I really like helping bring comfort to families and connecting with their family members that have passed to kind of let them know that, you know, we do go on and they're still here. They're just, you know, I like to think of them in a different dimension or in a different realm.
Yeah.
I feel like I like to talk about it more so now. I was really, really apprehensive of, because so many people have so many feelings about death, and
yeah,
sometimes people are like, it's just depressing and it's morbid, and it's like, but it's not. It's, you know, it's a life cycle. You're born and you live and then you die. You know, like I said, people have mixed feelings about it, and I just kind of want to create a space to normalize talking about it and, you know, not being afraid, or it doesn't have to be scary. Like, you know, because everyone's like, is it a ghost? Is it this? Is it that? Is it... I think because the way I had started out my business, it's kind of when you get comfortable. Oh my God, it was a medium named Brie who said it to me. Getting comfortable with being this like one thing. So I was just like, you know, psychic tarot reader, but she's also a medium. And just kind of like staying in that box because it was comfortable. And you know, I have this other side to me, and this other side of my work that I was just kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to do like how I'm going to do this or how I'm going to share this or how it's going to be perceived by people. But now kind of just being like, fuck it. It's there for who wants it, mm-hmm, and who need it. And those are the people that will find you. So
for sure. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right. So you're a psychic medium. You do some death doula work. You're also a tarot reader. How did you, and you said that like, tarot was kind of what opened the door. So how did you kind of find your way to tarot in the first place?
I was always, even as a kid, I was always very, and maybe it's a Scorpio rising thing. I've been told I've always been fascinated by occult stuff
from
a very young age.
Yeah.
And you know, like so many people, when practical magic came out and you know, the craft and,
yes,
and yeah, maybe even Halloween Town. 'Cause I love Halloween Town.
Okay.
And
yes.
Hocus Pocus, like, mm-hmm, all of those kind of movies. And, yeah, I always liked, I guess, things you would consider creepy or scary, which is whatever. It's,
yeah,
just something that's always kind of, interested me. And
yeah,
I, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. So my parents did not, censor any, mm-hmm, for the most part. Like there's, yeah, some stuff that was censored, but like most stuff, no, like watching scary movies at a very young age and,
yep,
nobody really paying attention to me watching them.
And then they're like, why is she having all of these nightmares?
Yeah, it's like, what's going on? Why? Oh, because we left her in the family room with her cousins who were like 4 years older than her.
Yeah.
And they were watching Nightmare on Elm Street and nobody really paid attention. But I just, yeah, I really, really was drawn to it. And I remember my mom bought like a magic kit for me and my brother. I think I probably was around 10, 11. And it had a tarot deck and I just played around with them, but like, I didn't know what I was doing. And then, you know, years went by. I call it the normie years, like just doing a normie job and like,
yeah,
all the things. And then it wasn't until I was, I think, in my 30s when I said, oh, like I just felt a calling to it. So I just picked up a deck. I took like a class once about the major arcana, and that was pretty much it. And then I just, you know, read from the book when you're practicing. And then I just started practicing on family and friends just for fun.
Yeah.
And then things would start to like come through and I was like, oh, this is interesting. Okay. And then I just kind of went with it. I started my page, I think, in 2019. So I started doing readings, like I would say more towards, I can't even remember the timeline, mid-year to like the end of the year. And it wasn't until the pandemic happened where that's when I like really, my business started to kind of unfold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that first deck? Like, not in the magic kit. I'm sure you don't remember what that was, but what was the first deck in after the normie year?
Oh, after the normie years. It's funny. It was Tarot de Marseille, and okay. People were like, yeah. That was your first deck. They're like, that's kind of heavy. And I bought it because it reminded me of Italian playing cards. Yeah, that's why I was totally drawn to it.
Do you still use that deck now?
It's interesting. I don't use it very often. I only use it when, and I find that's a lot of tarot decks are like that too. There's ones that you are called to use a lot.
Yeah.
And then there's ones I use for certain purposes. And then ones I haven't touched in years, but then randomly one day, it's like they call me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to, yeah. So I don't use that deck very, very often.
Gotcha. What's your go-to deck now?
I like to use the Everyday Witch Tarot. Yeah, it's a fun deck.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So you found tarot again, and other messages started coming through. What did you think of that at first? Like when you're reading the cards, and then like other stuff is coming through. How does it take you from, oh, I'm reading tarot and I'm, you know, tapping into that intuition to being like, no, this is something else?
I think for me, it was kind of, I just kind of trusted whatever information that was coming through.
Yeah.
I was like, this is weird, but, you know, write it down or make a note of it. And then I didn't really like overthink it. Mm-hmm. I feel like as a reader, when you overthink things, I'm like, I'm also guilty of this. We've all done this. But it's like when you overthink the first initial thing, that kind of like can sometimes block it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I always tell students that I'm teaching, like, whatever comes in first, write it down. Don't even think about it. Just like write it down, because 9 out of 10 times it's correct or it connects in some kind of way. But, you know, we always use our logical mind, right, to be like, what is this? Maybe I'm thinking about this because of this, this, and this. And I always say that too in readings as well. Like, if something does not make sense now, 9 out of 10 times it'll make sense later, even with names. Yeah. Sometimes I do readings and I do get a lot of names that come through, and, you know, they're obviously connected to the client, but then there's some names that they don't recognize, or they're like, I don't know who this is. And I'm like, that's cool. I say, just write it down. Yeah.
Okay.
That's really interesting. it's really interesting. This is really interesting to talk about too, because I don't really ever think about it, you know?
Yeah. It's just something that's so natural for you now. Like, it's just day-to-day living.
Yeah. It's just like, huh. I'm like, okay. But when I go out and stuff, people will ask me, they're like, do you get all kinds of information overload? I'm like, no, because I know how to kind of, and I don't know how I do this, to be honest. So sorry, anyone who's listening to this, I don't know how. It just kind of like shields itself. Maybe it's my guides. Maybe it's, you know, me knowing that I'm going out and I don't want to like be like a car battery and drain all my energy. I also don't think it's right to tap into people without their consent.
Sure.
I get really irritated at that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit invasive.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you just have good boundaries, or have figured out how to like set those boundaries, and not just for yourself, but for other people.
Yeah. Like if I'm out and I stop myself for a second and I want to like tap into the environment around me, I can, but I'm like, it's just like jump. It's like hopping in and out. I'll do that when I'm at the cemetery sometimes, just walking around. Mm, and I'll hear like names, or like, and I'll find the people too. It's weird. Just someone who like wants to connect while I'm walking. But I'm also very firm with my boundaries there of like, you can't come home with me. And
yeah,
because like kids' spirits love me, and they, yeah. And I was a daycare teacher for many years, so it makes sense.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're talking about like, you know, getting names and tapping into the energy around you. But I feel like we should rewind a little bit, because I'm wondering if there's people listening that like don't really know what being a medium is. And I like know for sure that there are just like common misconceptions out there about what it means.
So yes.
I don't know. basic understanding. What does it even mean? And I'm sure it's different for different people too. So what is it for you? What does it mean for you?
So someone once said this to me, not all psychics are medium and not all mediums are psychic. Okay. So you can be one or the other or both. I just assumed that everybody did both of them.
Okay.
So when I would explain the difference, like psychic is someone who can, you know, foresee like future events or things that are currently happening in your life.
Okay.
Medium is just solely talking to people who have died.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I didn't even know the distinction there. So that's cool.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I was like, oh, I just thought it was all one thing. And then some people were like, no, some people are like solely mediums, but they don't do the psychic part. Some people just do the psychic part and they don't do the mediumship part. Although I feel like everybody has the ability to connect to both, because you kind of utilize your psychic abilities in your mediumship, for me, in your mediumship abilities and readings and stuff. So like seeing images, hearing things, like you're using all the psychic senses, but you're able to, you know, essentially lift a veil and kind of go over. That's how I explain it. I call it like, it's like an in-between, like when you're falling asleep, when you're like in between deep sleep and in between being awake. That's how I feel like it is when I read.
And is that like, because we just talked about you having pretty good boundaries. So is that a place that you have to, like, how do you get to that place? And how did you know that you were there? Like when this first started coming into your world?
It's such a good question. I wish I had like this really like in-depth explanation. I can only describe it as it just is. And I know that's probably so vague. It's so vague, but I think it's different for everyone.
Sure.
And I think I've just come up with, you know, I've read books too, which is super, super helpful. And I feel like when I was younger, there wasn't a lot of stuff around, you know, there was, but there's not as much information as there is now, around this kind of thing. But I feel like that the in-between thing that I'm talking about is I connect that to like when I'm sleeping and connecting with, you know, my loved ones in my sleep, or like random messages. Sometimes I'll get messages for readings that I have coming up in my sleep. I'm okay with that. But if it starts to get disruptive, I kind of like tell them to leave while I'm sleeping. Like, it's a weird explanation. It almost feels, I'm going to connect this to astral traveling, because like you can astral travel in your own space, not just like, you know, floating around the universe. And so I feel like that's what happens to me sometimes when I sleep too, is like when I can feel someone, like my grandmother, I can feel her hugs and like I can feel her touch me, is because like I'm awake, but I'm not awake. Because then I'll ask my husband, I'll be like, my grandmother just walked in the bedroom, like, did you see her? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's not in space. Yeah.
No, he's super in tune. Like, and he'll hear stuff. There are noises at night, or when someone is trying to get my attention, like, I'm like, you do hear that, right? And he's like, oh yeah. It's like, I can hear that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. He can hear it.
Do you think that like mediumship and psychic ability, is that something that is accessible to everyone? Or I kind of think like everybody is intuitive, but I think that's different.
I think everyone is intuitive, and I think everyone has the ability to be psychic and medium and a medium, or however you want to do that. But I think what I feel is like when, you know, kids, babies come into this world, they are just like super wide open.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids have a lot of experiences with spirits. And I think at some point either they stay open or it gets, you know, blocked off or shut down for whatever reason. And I feel like you have the ability to be able to tap into that. It's just, you kind of, it's a few things. It's like, you have to trust yourself. you can't be afraid of it. Cause like, if you're afraid, you know, and I think it fear blocks out a lot of things, which can make it hard to connect. And your belief too, like if you are just thinking every single thing is, can be explained by logic, and you're not going to believe what you're experiencing. I believe everybody has had some kind of psychic or medium experience, but they might not see it like that.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
And I don't know if anyone else agrees with this, but you know, if you have a history in your families of people who are already psychic or mediums or like super open that way, that I think it can come through that way too.
Yeah.
Just like naturally.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense because your family would be sort of like predisposed to nurturing that in you, right? Rather than like
then shutting it down.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, that doesn't exist, or like, that's not real. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, something you said before, you were talking about, you kind of see it as there's like a veil that lifts and then you're kind of in between. This is a random sort of question. I just want your take. Like,
sure.
People will talk about, oh, the veil is really thin on like Halloween and Samhain, or the veil is really thin at like certain times of the year. What do you think about that?
I think that it's thin all the time.
Yeah, I agree, actually.
I feel like it's thin all the time is in general. If you are more tapped in, it's going to be, it's thin all the time for you.
Right.
But I do feel like there are times of the year where it's thinner, but it's easier for other people to connect who maybe don't normally connect or have experiences or think they have experiences. So yeah, I do feel like, especially Samhain, Yule, even spring equinox too, like going into, but then if you're saying all of that, then it's like, well, that's pretty much the whole freaking year. Like the whole wheel of the year is always thin. I feel like it's always thin, but it's thinner for people at certain times, or maybe not as like tapped in or doing it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. And I wonder too, if like around, you know, Samhain or these other dates on the wheel of the year, if it's like, there is this collective energy that is kind of like feeding into that. And I mean, even if we're creating that and making the veil thin, like that's still a thing.
It's kind of like amplifying and acting as like a battery pack.
Mm. Ooh, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like funneling all this energy. Like my brother will, he's intuitive, but he says that when he's beside me is when he gets a lot of information coming through. But he's like, but when I'm not with you, it's less.
Yeah.
And I think it's, well, I think because we're siblings, but it's like, I do feel like people can amplify it.
Yeah.
Like think about a bunch of mediums hanging out together or something. There's going to be a lot of like, it's like a battery pack times 10 maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit then about the death doula stuff. How did you get there? Like, what was the trajectory sort of? Like, we've done tarot, medium, psychic, and what's the next step?
I don't know. It just was something that kept popping up, and I just kept seeing it on like social media, and like, I think Death Wives was the first page I was introduced to, which they're, if you haven't checked them out, please check them out. They're amazing. And you know, they teach workshops, and they teach mentoring programs as well, because they are death doulas. And I just kind of started to learn about it, and I wanted to learn more. So I signed up for an online like college certificate course and learned more about it there. And then I took extra classes here and there, which is why I still want to take more, because there's a lot of stuff to learn. And I felt so drawn to it, and I didn't hear a lot of people talking about it. Mm-hmm. But now there's more accounts. I'm finding all these you know, other connections to people who do this kind of work, which I think is really beautiful and amazing. And yeah, that's just kind of how it unfolded for me and how I was just drawn to like wanting to learn more about it and what it actually means. And, you know, you work with the family and you work with your clients, and it can be for somebody who is like preparing to die or after death, and how to support these people that you work with. But I also felt, because I'm a medium, there's like an extra added element to that, where I could tell whoever I'm connected to, like who is there, you know, waiting for them, and who's essentially helping somebody cross over too, would, you know, so that's kind of how I just fell into it. I feel like a lot of all of these things that I'm talking about today are things I just kind of fell into. It's like the first time in my life I tried to not overthink something.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it worked.
Yeah.
It was just strange how it just unfolded. I went to school for years. I worked in the school board at one point, as a supply ECE, and now I do this full time. And it was just kind of something, and I always felt that there was some kind of calling to it in some way, shape, or form. I just didn't know at the time. And I think that this is, you know, this is essentially like what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. I don't know if inspiring is the right word, but it's also, I don't know, inspiring and comforting, I guess, that like you can do this whole career trajectory, go to school, do this job, and then you just sort of start listening to your gut, listening to like whatever that call is, and just like genuinely pursuing something that's bringing you joy, and look what it blossoms into. Like it's really lovely. And I think it's really nice for people over 30 to hear, because like, you know, you're not like stuck in that place that you were in your early 20s when you had to decide like where you wanted to go to college.
Oh Jesus, whatever. That's so hard, you know, like, too.
It's such bullshit.
It is. It's like, it's so hard. So what I'm trying to tell, I'm not telling you, if you want to go to school, go to school, mm-hmm. please go to school. I don't think school was a waste.
No. It's all part of the journey. It's impossible to know what you want to do for the rest of your life. At least 17, I think so.
Oh yeah. Like 17, 18, having to apply to like universities and colleges, like your brain isn't even fully developed. So it's like, how are you supposed to know what you want to do?
Completely different person.
Exactly. Like how are you supposed to know what you want to do? And sometimes it takes years, and I'm 40. So, and I've only been doing this for a couple of years, and I say this to everyone, if I can do it, you can do it. So like, if you want to, as cheesy as it sounds, like chase your dream, or you can start at any time. I think it's this belief that obviously society has created, that our families have created, because that's what they grew up with, is that life needs to be like this, 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 and you're fine if you check off all these boxes, but it's like, what is making you happy? And if it's not making you happy, what are you going to do with that to make yourself happy? Because, you know, even talking to you about like the deaths that have occurred around me recently, death always has a way of, you know, making people question their own mortality and say life is too short. But I feel like people just say it, and maybe not everybody applies that to their life after. And I think sometimes when people die, they're close to you, it's a wake-up call of like, you can literally go at any time. And so how do you want to live out the rest of your life for however long you have left? And so that's kind of, I think, how I just went forward with like the business aspect and all the work that I've been doing, was just kind of like, you know, this is good. Like I'm happy. And when I, you know, when it's my time, I can say that like I did the things that I truly felt called to do. And I think that's the most important part.
Totally. Yeah.
I think everyone gets there in the time that they're meant to get there. I don't think I would have been doing this when I was 20. God, like,
You know, it's so interesting that you say we get there in the time that we get there, because this morning while I was walking my dog, I was thinking like, what if I, because very often I will have these thoughts of like, I wish I had found this earlier. Like I'll find a thing that I really enjoy.
Sure.
And like, damn, I wish I hadn't found this at 36. Like, wouldn't it be cool if I found this, you know, even 6 years ago, like how far, how much further along I'd be or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, what if I just start thinking about it like, oh, isn't it cool that I found it? And isn't it great that like I have it now, and this is exactly when I was supposed to find it. So here I am. Like, I started walking a little bit like lighter, and I was like, yeah, yes, this is great. But no, I but mean, sometimes you need that mindset shift.
And it's such a normal feeling to have. Like, I do think sometimes I'm like, I could have been doing this for like 10 years now, and that would have been great. But then I think of like, where the hell was my mindset, you know, when, even when I was 30. Mm-hmm. And confidence wise too, like how did I feel about myself? How did I, you know, trust things? And I was like, I didn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I've always had an element of trust in what I was feeling, but I didn't always listen to it because I think it's, we choose not to listen to things when we know the truth, because the truth does hurt sometimes. Yeah. I'm just exactly. I'm just happy. I'm happy to be here now.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so in terms of, like, do you call yourself a death doula or is it death work? Like, what's the appropriate title there?
I think it's, like, interchangeable. Sometimes I'll say death doula. Sometimes I'll say end of life doula.
There's, gotcha.
You know, fana doula, which is, like, the Greek word you can use for it. I like to use the term death witch sometimes, but I'm like, I don't know how. I think it's me getting over the fear of like how that's perceived. You know, again, it comes the confidence thing. I think that's another thing too about it, of just like not giving a shit if people like it or if people think it's weird or whatever. And I think that that's kind of helped. But yeah, not everyone's going to get it. And that's okay. You can never be for every single person, you know, you're not for everyone.
And I mean, how exhausting would that be too, if you were for every single person?
It would be, that'd be so hard. It would be so hard. But I think the overcoming like the, that you're not for everyone, I think it, and maybe a lot of other readers or people in this, the realm of work, you know, that might affect them feeling like that because they want to help everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, title aside and whatever you decide to call yourself in this work, what exactly, like, what are the services that you offer as end of life doula, death witch?
So currently it's a newer service that I came out with, and it called it like grief and death work sessions. And basically what I base those sessions around is what you need, you know, exactly what you need me for to help you with. As with working families for end of life work, I've only done that a few times, but it was for people that were like connected to me. I haven't done that for clients yet, but with death and grief work sessions, it's basically what I do in a session is it's based around what it is that you're working to, like working through in regards to death. So is it the death of somebody that you, you know, need help with processing that? And in those types of sessions, I'll do mediumship where I will connect to the person that has passed. But other things that I do in those specific sessions it's almost like giving you homework and things to do after. So I'll channel, you know, certain, if someone wants to journal and journal out their feelings, like I'll channel prompts around what it is that we're talking about and what it is to kind of help them like work through things on their own. And then we'll come again together again and we'll meet again and, you know, and I also do meditations as well to kind of like, again, specifically based around what it is that you're needing at that time. And I've done a few of them so far, and they've been like, you know, very emotional, but very, I would say very, very healing and letting someone let out however they're feeling. And I don't just base them around, you know, grief and death work isn't just around losing people. It's around losing parts of yourself. It's what happens, you know, especially when you're going through loss, friendships that, you know, I'm sure tons of people have gone through that. When somebody close and significant to you dies, you see who's there and who isn't there for you. And then you also have to grieve those friendships and relationships and process. It's a lot of shit to process.
Yeah.
So that's a way that I'm utilizing that right now. But again, like I don't have it as a service yet, because I feel like I need to make another website or page for that type of work specifically. But right now I'm just offering death work and grief sessions. It feels like counseling. I'm not a counselor. I did not go to school for counseling, but it's almost like spiritual counseling, if I want to use that term. I say it like 500 times in those sessions. I'm not a doctor. Please, but I can connect in a different way than maybe a doctor can. But I am, you know, huge mental health advocate. I will always, you know, ensure and tell people, if you can go to therapy or get some kind of extended support like that. And I'll also give, I've given resources out too. That's another thing as well, like resources for clients who need to maybe seek extra, you know, extra assistance elsewhere. But that's kind of like what I'm doing in those sessions. And it's I'm really enjoying being able to provide that space too for people to let, you know, whatever it is that they're carrying out, because like I can hold that space for them.
Yeah, it just seems like an extra layer of support and a different approach to moving through a rough time. Yeah. I think maybe my final question for you before we dive into some astrology stuff would just be, if somebody was embarking on this kind of work, like discovering that they maybe have some of these medium or psychic abilities or feeling drawn to the death doula side of things, is there any advice that you would give to people, or any like, not like, go and study here or read this book, but just like more, maybe it's the confidence thing, you know, like maybe it's trusting in your gifts, like that kind of advice. Or is there like a thing that you like wish people would know before they dive into this, like that kind of thing?
Going into this kind of work with, you know, obviously the best of intentions, and doing it because you want to do it, not because you think, oh, I should be doing this, or, you know, oh, it's a cool, it sounds cool, I want to do it.
Right.
And it's like, but there's so many layers to this. And I say this even with people who want to read for other people, of knowing the responsibility that comes with that, because, you know, that's why I feel like even with psychic readings, tarot, any type of reading, there should be like a code of ethics that you follow. Because you are dealing with feelings, you are dealing with people, you're dealing with people's lives. I'm very careful about how I say certain things. There's certain things that I won't talk about in a reading. And a lot of readers will say there's certain things they won't talk about too. Like a lot of people won't talk about like pregnancy stuff, or, you know, because people have their boundaries as well. Some people might be comfortable doing one thing and someone else might not be comfortable doing the same thing. So I just say go into it with, you know, an open mind and an open heart and the best of intentions, and just kind of, you know, be open to learn everything and just, yeah, trust yourself.
Love it.
That is a hill I will die on. You just trust it.
I think that's good advice for pretty much anyone in any situation.
You need more trust in yourself, and the confidence will come with that. Like, and that'll come with time. That's it. It just takes time. And I think that we live in a society where we're so like, quick to have shit happen so quickly because you can order things on Amazon and get in 24 hours and, you know, like instant gratification. And it's just like, not everything is like that. And to kind of just go into it without that intention. And I know that's kind of hard because we live in such a fast paced society where things are like just constantly evolving and constantly moving. And it's just like freaking information overload. Like, you know what I mean? There's it's too much sometimes. And I really do feel like trusting your journey and your path and how it is supposed to unfold will unfold the way that it's supposed to. So kind of just let it. And it's hard. It's hard to like not be attached to an outcome. This is like something I've learned.
Yeah.
I'm continuing to learn and continuing to practice detachment because I feel like when you're so attached to something is when you, that's when you kind of limit yourself. Right.
Yeah.
And like, look at all the beautiful things that can come when you just kind of just like, I'm not saying throw caution to the wind, but kind of throw caution to the wind a little bit, like a happy medium in between.
Cautiously throw caution to the wind is how cautiously I like to put it. Caution to,
yeah. to, yes. That's the perfect way to put it. Cautiously throw caution to the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
I love it. It sounds so poetic. It's just like, I say this all the time in readings to people. I'm like, I'm not telling you to leave your fucking job tomorrow. Like, this is not what I'm saying. Right. But like, if you don't like where you're at, start putting, like planting the seeds or taking the steps to put you in a space where you're going to like where you're at. Even if you're not there right now, if you start, and like, I think most of the time we just want to hit things like full force, like warp speed, and then that's when, you know, that's when you burn out 10 times quicker. So it's just like learning how to be in the flow, which is something I've been trying to learn my whole life. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good advice, but you have to embody it. Like, it's very easy to say and then much harder to do, but you know,
but it can be done.
The more you practice, I should say. Yeah.
The more you practice and the more you just allow, the more it flows.
Love that. So yeah, we're going to take a little look at your chart, Diana, and before we recorded, Diana had asked, like, are there any factors in my chart that would, you know, speak to the work that I do as a medium, as a witch, as a death doula, all that kind of stuff. So I really, when I was looking at the chart, I was trying to really focus on like career path or like, you know, kind of vocational calling type things. There's some other stuff that really stuck out to me, but I'm going to focus on that as much as possible. So really what stood out to me immediately about your chart is this seventh house over here. Got a lot going on in the seventh house. The seventh house is the place of committed relationships and partnerships.
Okay.
But it's also where we would find client work, like one-on-one type of work. And the reason, I mean, I look at your chart, I see all those planets, I see all of that activity. But then I see that you're a Scorpio rising, mm-hmm. and Scorpio is ruled by Mars. And so your ascendant ruler, Mars, is over there in the seventh house. Oh, so that to me already says like there's something about you that is directed towards partnerships, relationships, this kind of one-on-one work. The other thing that I see is that your midheaven is up here in Virgo.
Yeah.
And the midheaven is what I would look at to see kind of career or life direction, vocation. It's kind of like the midheaven represents the point in the sky when you were born, like the highest sort of peak of the sky. So it's like this place that we can aspire to in a sense. Mm-hmm. And so the ruling planet of Virgo is Mercury, and Mercury is also sitting here in your seventh house.
Interesting.
Yeah. So in any reading, really the kind of two of the biggest planets for me are always going to be the planets that rule those two angles, the ascendant mm-hmm. and the MC, because they say so much about you and your life direction. And then I see that they're both in the seventh house and they're really close together by degree. Okay. So there's like something really important about that seventh house place, that like place of being in relationship with other people.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're off to a good start then. Yeah. And because they're so close by degree, that means that those two planets are also in conversation together, like they're working together. So there's this idea that like the, okay, so the first house, which is very much you, it's where your life began, basically, right? Like that first house, that ascendant degree says so much about you and your essence and who you are in this world. And then, like I said, that midheaven is like this thing that we are aspiring to, or a thing that we're like kind of put here to do in a way. And then so to see the two planets ruling them in the same house, working towards the same goal, there's this immediate connection between who you are and what you do, right?
I love that.
All right. So because you asked about career specifically, we'll talk more about the MC and then Mercury over here. So your MC is in Virgo, and Virgo placements, I think, really thrive when they're able to be of service to other people in very practical and tangible ways. Even if they're dealing with like otherworldly or spiritual concepts, it's kind of about taking those things and making them useful, making it something that people can kind of use to increase the efficiency of their lives, so to speak.
I love that.
And it's in the 11th house. And the 11th house is a place of friends and groups and networks and kind of social life in a sense. Mm-hmm. And so when the midheaven degree is in the 11th house, it sometimes tells us that work will be connected to communities, groups, organizations. You know, you might like working with friends or working in community, or maybe your friendships and your community help you find work in a way.
That's so interesting that you said that, because I find that, so I have, I run the Juniper Coven, and like I teach classes, but I also pick like a guest speaker like once a month. Because I do them in 3-month cohorts, and I do a lot of the people, guest speakers are like friends of mine from the community. Because like I also want to share my friends as well, and be like, hey, you might learn something from them and like what they're teaching, and then want to like connect with them, which I think is that's all about, like, I really want to build community. That's a really important thing for me too, and hyping up your friends, but also because I think they're great and I've learned, you know, a lot of stuff from them as well. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I've also got our chart is similar in certain ways. Like we're both Scorpio risings and we've both got the degree of the midheaven in the 11th house.
That's
and
awesome.
Creating community is so, like, I totally get where you're coming from, and being able to like pump up your friends is so rewarding. Like,
yeah,
it feels really good.
I like, and that makes the Virgo, I feel like my work ethic can be Virgo-esque, is so that makes sense.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So the 11th house is also a place of like hopes and dreams and wishes. And it's talked about as this place of like, things that come, it's called the place of good spirit. And technically, it's like this place that brings fortune based on kind of your more spiritual life in a way. And I started thinking about it as like, you know, it could represent community and networks and groups and friends and all that stuff, but maybe it also represents spirit guides and like spirit community.
Ooh.
And so maybe that's the kind of groups and communities that you're also called to work with, like whether it's your own spirit guides, other people's spirit guides, but like something about working with communities, whether alive or dead, is very much there, right?
Oh my gosh, that's interesting. This is very fascinating. I love all of this.
Yeah, it's like really nice to have that validation, I think.
I like it. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a little bit about the 11th house. And then, like I said, so the ruler of that 11th house is Mercury, and it's over here in the 7th house. And Mercury is a lot about communication and language and the exchange of information. So your career might be somehow rooted in conversing and sharing ideas in that one-on-one setting. Mm-hmm. And Mercury is also the messenger planet, and it is a planet that kind of, it travels to parts of the sky that other planets don't travel to. And it's kind of like collecting information from like here, there, and everywhere, and then bringing back those messages to wherever it goes in the chart, whatever planets it's meeting up with. And that to me kind of signifies like your career could be about delivering messages. Now, that might have manifested as you being like a male person, but fair. It's manifested as you, you know, having this relationship where you deliver messages to people. And what I find super interesting as well is that, so Mercury rules that Virgo 11th house, but it also rules your Gemini 8th house.
Okay.
And the 8th house is a lot about death. And so Mercury ruling that house, it's kind of importing those topics into the 7th house.
Oh.
And, you know, you're, again, just delivering messages.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, I loved seeing that about your chart for sure.
That's crazy.
Oh, and I also, something that I was also thinking is that like, yes, so Mercury is helping you bring those messages to other people because it's in this place, it's, mm-hmm. it's sitting in that 7th house of relationships. But because Mercury is so close to Mars, and Mars is the ruler of that, of your ascendant, of your rising sign, it's almost like Mercury is specifically also bringing you those messages, because Mars would be a planet that very much represents you in the chart.
Oh man. Oh God. I'm trying to think off the top. This is blowing my mind right now. I can't remember if Hades connected to Mars or Mercury. It's one of them because there's an underworld connection.
Yeah. So as far as my studies go, I connect Hades with Pluto.
It's Plutonian, but that's the Scorpio, correct?
In more modern astrology, Scorpio would be ruled by Pluto.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, I will talk about Pluto a little bit later, because it's definitely something there in your chart as well. But I think maybe another way to connect this, and maybe you've heard of this before, Mercury is part of the mythology of Mercury is that it's a psychopomp.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it's an underworld guide. So it's not necessarily like the lord of the underworld anything.
No, it is. I'm like, I know there's something here. I can't remember what it was. So yeah, a psychopomp essentially is somebody who can travel between two realms, which is like a term I have used before for myself. Yeah. But I'm like, I feel like a lot of people don't know what that is. But maybe I should talk about that more.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
I totally see that for you. And psychopomp also is like helping guide newly deceased souls on their journey to the underworld.
Yeah, that's totally, yep.
I feel this is incredibly apt for you.
Totally aligns, totally aligns.
Yes. All right, so again, like I've mentioned, we've got Mercury and Mars in a pretty tight conjunction. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give away all the details, but for people listening, Mercury and Mars are just, like, we've got Mars at 4 degrees of Taurus and Mercury at 6 degrees of Taurus, so they're very, very close.
That's very close.
And yeah, so that's what I mean about Mercury bringing you these messages. But not only that, the Mercury-Mars connection here, I think that means that messages can be delivered with a lot of clarity and confidence. And I know that confidence, as we've been talking about, is something that you've had to kind of work on and trusting yourself as time goes on. But when you do trust in yourself, there's like so much clarity and like specificity that can come through.
Fair. Yeah.
I think, you know, in my experience with you, you're somebody that's really able to cut through the bullshit. Like, you are straight to the point, you're direct, and you're assertive, and you're truthful. But here's the thing. All of this is happening in Taurus, which is a Venus-ruled sign, and Venus is very sweet. So there is an overall sweetness to what you have to say. Like, what you say goes down easy, even if it's not the easiest thing to say or to hear. Like, there is like a, you're holding somebody's hand, but not in a coddling way.
I love that. I think that's such a beautiful way to explain it, because I feel like that too. When I deliver messages, I try to be obviously direct, but in a way that's not like, you know, that, yeah, that is holding your hand. I like that. Thank you.
It's gentle, but it's not, it's a spoonful of sugar, but you're still making that medicine go down. Like,
I love, yes, that's yeah. The perfect way to explain. Thank you.
Oh, cool. Yeah, my pleasure. The Mars being there in that seventh house, it might point to like a passion for conversing as well, like feeling very fueled by conversations.
Oh my God.
And motivated by sharing the information that you're getting. Like,
yeah, it's oh God, I was one of those kids like on every report card where it's like, Diana's a great student, but she's too entirely chatty, or she talks too much. Fucking, I've seen so many of, my mom has them all saved. And it was like, same thing every year. She gets easily distracted by other people and talks too much to other people. And I'm like,
yeah, this makes sense. This
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And like, also helping, like, not only are you maybe motivated by conversations, but you can also motivate people into action by giving them the information and the details that they need. So like helping them move through these periods by, again, delivering those messages, just being straight to the point and being like, here's the to-do list of things that we can do. Like, we'll do these journal prompts. We'll do this like funeral for yourself or whatever it's going to be. But like, going back to that Virgo part too, of like, here's the practical, tangible steps that we can take to move through this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like blowing my mind right now.
Well, something that blew my mind is that like when I had my session with you late last year, I guess it was, mm-hmm. like I was blown away by the accuracy of things that you were talking to me about. There's like, Mars is like very sharp and direct and to the point. And there was like a very, the pinpoint accuracy of things. B, how quickly the ideas and these messages seemed to come to you, but also how clearly you were able to communicate them. Like, it didn't feel like overwhelming, but Mars also will, like, Mars is heat and speed. And so like, I feel like it interacting with that Mercury, it's like speeding up the communication when necessary, mm-hmm. but it's
oh my still, God,
but
yes.
It doesn't lack that clarity.
Cause okay. So that makes a lot of sense, because sometimes I now tell people that I've never read before, I'm like, if I'm talking too fast, tell me to slow down, because when it's, I sometimes feel like a yo-yo, like when I'm channeling stuff, I feel like I'm saying all this stuff and it's like things that are coming through and I'm verbalizing them, but like, I'm not retaining what I'm saying. So sometimes after I say stuff, I'm like, holy shit, what did I just say? Cause like, I have no recollection of it. Cause it's just like, yeah. It filters through very quickly through. Sometimes.
Wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So Mars speeding things up and mm-hmm. like, yeah, having that speed with which all those messages are coming through. But what's interesting too is that, so I mentioned, you know, the seventh house, it's Taurus. Taurus is a very slow moving sign. And I think that might be what helps you to kind of temper all of that. Like, your ideas, like, they might not be grounded for you, but at least in my experience, even though the messages were coming through quickly, they didn't feel like they're going to disappear. Like, they felt like they had sort of staying power, if that makes sense. Like, they were really grounded. And I think with Mercury and an Earth sign, we get like a mind-body connection. Mm-hmm. And so there's something about the way that you deliver these messages that like, it just sticks. Like, there's something about it that just like hits the ground and it becomes like real in a way.
That's funny you say that, because I remember this, and this is not like, or maybe it was a psychic thing. I remember in high school, I think it was like grade 9 or 10, there was this person I was friendly with, and they, you know, when everyone is just trying to fit in and trying to be themselves or not be themselves. And I just remember this guy that I was friends with, he was like just acting so stupid, and he was just trying so hard to fit in. And apparently, and I remember this vaguely, he brought it up like 20 years later when he ran into me and he's like, you know, he's like, you said something to me that stuck with me for years. And I was like, oh Christ, I'm like, what did I say? And he brought up a conversation where I, you know, kind of came at him, but I just kind of laid down the truth juice. I'm like, I said something to the effect of like, you know what your problem is? And he's like, why? What's my problem? And I apparently went in on him, like telling him that you don't let people see who you really are, and this is not who you are. I know who you are. And I said all this stuff, and he was just like, I remember a little bit of it, but like I vaguely remember like it just coming out. Yeah. And when he told me that years later, he was like, he goes, that's something that like really, really stuck with me. He goes, because you were right.
Wow.
He's like, I wasn't being myself. I was like, and I can't remember what prompted me to say it. I was like, oh my God, what did I say? It was like,
that's wild that it stuck with him for that long. But like, that's what I mean. I mean, like just this idea of having the ideas just really stick and like really feel like they're with you. Like, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Then maybe we can look a little bit at Mars being the ruler of your ascendant. And, you know, Mars is energy, passion, drive, motivation. It's kind of like, it's how we make choices. It's how we take action. And like I mentioned, the ascendant, it's really the most you part of the chart. It's like, it's your essence. It's your vitality. It's kind of the style with which we navigate life. And so the ruling planet of that ascendant is going to have some sort of say in like how all of you manifests in a way. Mm-hmm. And again, so there's something about that relationship setting being a very motivating factor for you. I wonder, are you the kind of person that like takes the lead in relationships?
Yes, probably. Like, like I would say, looking back at the past, yeah, I always felt like that was my Aries energy of here, take my hand, let's go here, put gently guide.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally. That makes sense.
I mean, yeah, and so your sun is in Aries, and that's also going to be Mars ruled. So there's definitely that coming through as well, for sure. But yeah, maybe there's also something about like being able to define yourself through relationships, or that's how you really learn about yourself is through relationships. Is there any of that?
Yeah, I would say learning about myself through relationships, definitely, you know, especially like relationships or friendships that have not worked out. I kind of look back on like, okay, what was it? And I'm able to see. And a lot of the times it's because like a lot of the times I have found in the past that I wasn't as assertive with how I was feeling or how they were making me feel. And I kind of just like, I like to say I Pisces moon that stuff, which just kind of like just letting it flow away and just like,
right,
you know, because it's emotional and you don't want to hurt someone, but you also feel uncomfortable because you're hurting yourself, because you're not letting, you know, the other people know how their behavior or what they're saying is making you feel. And so I feel like those are things I've learned through those relationships and of, you know, being myself, like, and not that and I'm not saying that I think what happens sometimes is like people, if you're continuously growing and evolving, but only if you want to. And I think sometimes what happens is people are married to a certain version of yourself, especially when those people have not grown or not taking the steps, or maybe they're just not there yet. So it's like their expectations are of like who you were 20 years ago, as opposed to like who you are now, which is completely different. It's like, I'm very much the same personality wise and like at things at the core of my being, but like boundaries are like a huge thing for me now, where I didn't have them before. I didn't know what they were. And then when you start to place those in relationships, that's when you see all this blowback sometimes, because people don't know how to perceive that, or like, why? And it's like, yeah, because like how it was before was fucked up, and now I'm kind of like better. And it's right. Like, you know, yeah. But maybe those people are not there where you're at yet, which is why it gets uncomfortable.
Totally. Yeah. And it's so interesting that you're framing it that way, because Mars in Taurus, that's not necessarily a place that Mars loves to be. Mm-hmm. And we can look at it in terms of like I said, Mars is, you know, it's fast and it's passionate and it speeds things up and it's energy and it's, you know, motivating. And Taurus is a very like kind of chill, take it easy, moving slowly kind of vibe. So those two things clash a little bit. And it's interesting that you're, you know, talking about it and learning from relationships that are no longer sort of in existence, I guess we could mm-hmm. say. Like, yeah. it's, and Mars can be about like the separation of things. And so you learning in that way where it's like there needs to be that separation first before the learning happens, maybe.
Yeah, it's funny. It's because, but I think as like the years have progressed, it's like, you are learning those things, and then you're like, okay, I see why this is not working, or I see why this is not connecting. Whereas in the past, it was like after the fact where it kind of like all hits you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And the Mars, what you were saying, like Mars and Mercury being close together. So like you said, one is like fast paced, and you said Taurus is just like chill. It would make sense as to why I'm, even the way that I deliver messages, like that makes a lot of sense. Why I get so passionate about stuff and stuff comes out, but like yeah. I also have this like breezy way of saying it, so it's not as like, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, and the other thing too, talking about how did you put it? Your boundaries are better now than they were before. Like you weren't really as aware of maybe how to set those boundaries or where you needed better boundaries. And I find that interesting because, so you've got Saturn in the first house. Mm-hmm. And Saturn is a lot about boundaries. Like it can really help us to, it speaks about like limits and restrictions, but those can also be really protective things, like setting your boundaries, setting your walls, setting your limits, right? But your Saturn is retrograde. And so one of my questions was going to be like, was there a delay or a difficulty in figuring out how to set up those boundaries for yourself? And like, that's just something that has to get better with time, essentially.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. And even like when I was younger, it's like, I didn't know what boundaries were, but like then I didn't know what other people's boundaries were. And then maybe people didn't know what their boundaries were. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. I feel like learning as I grew and then figuring. And I think I feel like this is tied to confidence too, of, you know, really sitting with yourself and saying, am I okay with the way this person is behaving or interacting, or how do I feel after I've hung out with them and they've said something to me, like, and really sitting and looking at that. Whereas before I didn't sit with it. And I think that's why it wasn't until I started to sit with it. I was like, wait a second. I don't like that. That's not okay. It doesn't feel good. And it's like, okay, so now I have to do something that's going to be uncomfortable. But yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So it's like, it's not a thing that come super easy for you. It's kind of a thing that that requires a little bit of reflection and
definitely lots of reflecting.
One other thing I kind of wanted to mention about that seventh house, again, I mentioned it's ruled by Venus. It's Taurus, and so it's ruled by Venus. Mm-hmm. And Venus is also in the seventh house, and that's a really good placement for it because it's in one of its home signs, so it's really happy. It's able to be like the most Venus that it can be, you know, like it's at home, right? It has access to all of its trinkets and treats and resources and stuff. And I think to connect this to your work as like a psychic medium, death doula, I think this Venusian energy with those other really two important planets, the Mercury and Mars being there, I think it creates an environment that, you know, for navigating such typically taboo and difficult topics, I think it makes it a little gentler, and it kind of makes room for death to be something that is beautiful and a natural thing for the body and not this like abstract otherworldly thing. Like again, Taurus is very grounded and slow moving, but it's an earth sign and it's so much about the body, and it like brings it into it's just a sensation that we experience, like it's part of life, right? And then I think you're able to bring language to that topic with Mercury being there, and it helps you to connect with people in a way that doesn't, or it helps you help other people connect to it in a way that isn't so scary.
It's interesting with that you talk about the Venusian aspect, because I love like Aphrodite and Venus and that kind of, even like aesthetically.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that like the Taurus connection. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. Your Venus is really strong in the chart. It's like one of the most, it's one of the strongest planets in your chart for sure.
That's awesome.
So it's really coming through. So it rules that seventh house of, again, committed partnerships, one-on-one work, but it also rules your 12th house, which is this very like private and secluded part of the chart. And it's where it's where we deal with like a lot of challenges and difficulties of the spirit and of the mind. And to me, the 12th house is this very liminal between two worlds type of space. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, a lot of the work that you do with clients, so again, Venus being in that seventh place, but also ruling the 12th, the client work that you do is private, like a lot of it, right? It's behind closed doors. You're talking about sensitive topics. You're dealing with spiritual matters. And again, you're able to really be a gentle and supportive like environment for people. And then also you've got Pluto in the 12th house, and Pluto is very much about like death and rebirth, regeneration. It's also about power. And I feel like your relationship with the dead, relationship with spirits, I wonder, like, I'm sure it's very empowering at times, but do you ever feel like it controls you, or was that ever a thing that you experienced?
Like controlling me as in messages like coming through?
Yeah. And like, maybe it is like, I wonder if before you were practicing more regularly and like finding your own voice, was it a thing that like you maybe subconsciously gave your power to in a way? Like,
yeah, maybe like the way I describe it is like, and I had a reader actually. Oh, I think, do you follow Spiral C Tarot?
Yeah, that's familiar.
Yeah. Did like a tarot reading for me, but I want to say this was like in 2018 or 2019. It was a long time ago. And I remember asking about, you know, my abilities, and because all these things were happening. And I always remember her just saying something like, it's just who you, this is, it's just you. Like, this is just who you are. Again, that was like and I understood what she meant by that. And I feel like I had said it, it's always been there. And there were times where things would happen, but I wouldn't really know how to explain them. And so I think like giving my power to it, I guess that makes sense of like not, I don't know if I'm, it's like not being able to control it. It kind of controls you. So random shit will come through, but you're like, what the fuck? And then nothing will happen for like months.
Right.
It's like a dead zone. And then random stuff would pop in and then not. It, and that's kind of like how it was. So that makes, that makes sense. That really does make sense. Wow. Yeah. But also sometimes in readings, I feel like it takes over sometimes because sometimes I'll say a word or I'll say something or my speech will change. And I'm like, that did not sound like me. Like, I feel like somebody's literally trying to speak through me. It's a weird feeling. There's been times where I'll say something or I'll start to say a word, but I all of a sudden stop myself and someone's like, wait a second, you just said this name. And I was like, I did. Like, I don't remember it. And then I'm like, well, who is this? Like, what is this person or who is this person? And they're like, oh my God, this is the person I was going to talk to you about or something. But it's just like something kind of overtakes me.
I skipped over this in my notes, but when we were talking about the Mercury-Mars connection in your chart, I did write down like invasion of the mind, persistency of thoughts, and maybe having a difficult time turning that off.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like, again, at night is when it's active sometimes where I can't like shut my brain off or like when I'm half asleep and I'm like, you know, when you're in between waking up and like you'll hear someone talking or a song will keep repeatedly play over and over and over in your head. That used to happen to me when I was young and I know what it is now, but I didn't understand it at the time. I thought that there was something like seriously wrong with me because I was like, this song has been playing in my head on repeat when I'm trying to sleep and I don't know where it came from. I didn't listen to it. It's random and it wouldn't stop. And then I remember putting my like pillow over my head to cover my ears. And
wow.
So yeah, so that's it taking over. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I guess in that state, in that more subconscious state, like boundaries are probably more difficult, right? Mm-hmm. So like you probably have a better grip on them in the waking world.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a little, little more slippery in sleep time.
Yeah, sleep time I feel like I have to, and I forget half the time, but like set an intention or just say, hey.
Yeah.
Or someone will try, there's times where people will try to like wake me up or talk to me. And I'll just say like, I'm exhausted. Like I can't talk to you right now.
Yeah. Well, I love that you've talked so much about dreams as well, because you do also have that Pisces moon. And even the song lyrics makes total sense for that to be a way that, you know, messages might come through for you. Like Pisces is very poetic and lyrical, and it's definitely got a connection to dreams. And, you know, it's a very like fluid and flexible and kind of like dreamy, ethereal type of place. And I'm curious, did you know that the moon, your natal moon phase is a waning moon? Because I don't think we've said it, but your business name is Waning Moon Readings.
Yes. So I changed it because it used to be I got 5 on it too.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, one night I was just kind of like, I feel like there's, I don't know, something else. And I was looking up, I was like, oh, I wonder what, like, I know I was born on a Sunday. And I was like, I wonder what phase the moon was in. Cause I'm, you know, I've always been very deeply connected to the moon and moon phases. And then that's where, a waning moon is when I was born.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh,
so you did know. So that like factored into your.
Yeah. So that's why I changed it to that. Cause I was like, oh, that's perfect. And
yeah.
Yeah. A waning, well, I think it was a waning crescent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very close to the end of the cycle. Like in a, you know, a few days after you were born, it would have been a new moon. So, which also like that moon phase feels very liminal to me. Like we're so close to that new cycle, but we're not quite done with the one that we're moving
in between.
Through. We're kind of in that in-between space, like straddling realms, essentially. And it's like, yeah, we're, again, like that liminal space that we've been talking about. And it's also a phase where we clear away and we release and we find closure and completion. So relating that to the death doula work that you'll be doing and like that you are doing and helping people come to that place of finding that closure and letting go of certain things. And the moon in Pisces is also so gentle and empathetic. And I think that that really also is impacting the way that you speak with people and the way that you're able to just kind of hold that space. The crescent moon is such a container. It's such a receptive kind of phase, I think, to be able to help hold things for other people.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And I love having a Pisces moon.
Yeah.
I really do.
That's one of the, like, I see so many different placements. I don't really get like jealous of placements, but I fucking love a Pisces moon and I really wish I had one, but
really that's so funny. Yeah. I love a Cancer moon.
Yeah. That's my moon. Yeah.
I love Cancer moons. Cancer moons are great. Pisces moon is, yeah. And the way that you describe that, I was like, oh my God, that sounds like me as a person, like in general. Yeah, I get mistaken for Pisces a lot more. Not many people know that think I'm Aries. They're like shocked when I tell them.
Well, so because you were born after the sun had set, the mm-hmm. moon is actually out of between the sun and the moon. In my practice anyway, the moon would be the more important of the two in your chart. So it doesn't surprise me that people pick up on that. Yeah.
Interesting.
And then What's so funny, I didn't know this about you until we chatted today. So your moon is in the fifth house. And again, it's like I just said, it's the more important of the two luminaries, which is what mm-hmm. the sun and the moon. And so in a reading, like I would have looked at, yeah, the ascendant ruler, the MC ruler, and then either the sun or the moon, depending on the time of day you were born. Mm-hmm. And the moon is sitting in your fifth house, and that's a place of children and creativity. And so I wrote down, like, I'm curious if you've ever worked with children. How have they shown up in your life?
Oh my
and
God, that's
me today. Like, you used to be a school teacher or like work with children.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love kids. Yeah. Kids are great.
Yeah.
And I feel like I connect to kids a lot. Even like random kids on the street. Kids are always like looking at me I always feel weird because, you know, parents are like, what are you looking at? And I'm like, I used to be a daycare teacher.
You're looking at me.
I'm like, just saying, like, I work with kids before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I noticed that a lot. Like, kids really connect to me and I really connect to kids. So well, that is interesting.
Yeah. And you even saying like the spirits of children really connect with you as well. And I mean, to me, that's just such a new and lovely way to think about a Pisces moon in the fifth house. Like it's really so beautiful.
That is very sweet. And it makes sense because even as a kid, like I have a huge family. So I was always, you know, helping with the little cousins or.
That makes sense. Yeah.
That's so cute. I love that. I love that for my little me.
Aw, yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
It was very cool to learn. When you said that earlier, I was like, amazing. Another win for astrology.
Oh my God. Like see how spot on that is though?
Yeah.
That's very spot on.
Yeah, it's very cool. And I had a few other things, but we are like, we've been chatting for a while and I want to respect your time and my time and listeners' time. So I think I'll end it there, but thank you for sharing your chart and thank you for sharing like your experiences that came up as we talked about your placements. I really appreciate it.
This was just lovely. You're really, really great at podcasting and asking really great questions and yeah. And this and you're great at reading astrology. Like this makes a lot of sense as to like why I'm doing what I'm doing, especially like now, like, you know what I mean? In this part of my life and that it was kind of always there, right? Astrologically.
Right. Yeah.
Which makes, it's amazing. Totally.
And I mean, it could have, you know, somebody could have a similar chart and it manifests differently. And
for sure,
different times when the planets kind of become active and, you know, activate those certain promises that they made when we were born and all that kind of thing. But yeah. But thank you for sharing your chart. Thank you for sharing your experiences. Is there anything, classes or offerings that are coming up for you that you want to quickly promote or?
Yeah, I would love to promote the Juniper Coven, which is a monthly meetup. We meet 3 times a month and we're starting the spring cohort from May to July. And so there's classes in there. We have our own Discord where there's extra goodies that are in there as well. And I'm doing something a little bit differently for membership. I used to just offer like a membership for 3 months and then there was a payment plan, but now I'm going to offer tier options. So lower price points. And like, obviously they're all different. Yeah. And so I am just really, really excited because we have like a lovely community and, you know, especially like in our Discord chat, we it's just like everyone's kind of become friends and we share all kinds of stuff in there, like it rituals and you know, if someone needs help with like a spell or someone even just needs advice as well, just like life advice and stuff. So I we were talking about this before, the connection in the community aspect. Yeah. And it's how important I feel like it is, especially these days and finding people that you connect with. And so I'm just really excited for the spring. So that's what I have coming up. And I am booking 1-to-1 sessions for May, June, and then September.
Nice.
Thank you for doing this. Like this was amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, friends. I hope you enjoyed that chat. Links to Diana's website and socials are going to be in the show notes. And if that mini chart reading got you interested in learning more about your own chart, you can check out my offerings. I'm currently only doing pre-recorded stuff as that's kind of what's fitting best with my current health situation and my schedule, but they are available and you can also find those links in the show notes. I'll be back soon for another episode, but until then, I'll catch you in the cosmos.